Have you ever had the experience of being really excited by something you found, you discovered, and you share it with someone, and that person just brings you down? It's kind of embarrassing. You don't know what to do. I can imagine that was a feeling. And I'm going to say, what a jerk that Nathaniel was, right? Philip comes all excited. We found the Messiah. He's all excited about something he's discovered. He discovered in this man all his studies of Moses and the law, he finally discerned that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Messiah they were hoping for. And he goes and tells Nathanael, and Nathanael says, "Can anything from Nazareth be good?" The Message Bible paraphrases it differently. Nazareth, you gotta get kidding. You gotta be kidding. And I think that it captures really what Nathanael was. He was kind of a nasty guy. He didn't want to believe. Nazareth was just this podunk little village out in Galilee, which already was like the boonies. Galilee was very far away from Jerusalem, Judea, the main center of power, religious and political. Nazareth was this little town way, way up in the hills of Galilee, where people were looked down upon. Nothing. There was a description of Israel in the time by Joseph, and Nazareth doesn't even appear. So it was this tiny little village that nobody really, really knew about or cared about. So of course, for Nathanael says, anything good can come from Nazareth. This reminded me of someone else. Maybe you've heard about Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton was a monk, a Trappist monk. He died in 1968. He was a contemplative, a man of deep spirituality, but he was imperfect like all of us. And he made an interesting discovery. He studied Merton while we were in seminary, and he shared with me this little snap into his life, into his mind. And he was a little bit like Nathaniel. Thomas Merton was a little bit wild in his youth, and he converted. He became a Roman Catholic. And he started going to this monastery in Kentucky, Gethsemane. He was very young in his conversion. He was all very pious. And he went a couple of times to the monastery very early on. And one, he does a retreat. He goes out, goes back to Louisville, Kentucky. And this is what he writes. Leaving Gethsemane was very sad. There is a huge gap between the monastery and the world. And Louisville is a nice enough town, but I wasn't happy to be thrown back into it. There had been a big robbery near 4th Street. I couldn't figure it out, but half the time, whether it was morning or afternoon, the sign Clown Cigarettes On, I think, Walnut Street made me laugh wanly. There was a lot of sun. I didn't want to see any of the city or any of the people. It is terrible to want to belong entirely to God and see nothing around you but the world, and not see God. The world is beautiful with the sunlight, but the objects in the sunlight are not beautiful. They are strange. In his autobiography, The Famous Seven Story Mountain, he wrote about this moment. I turn and fled from the alien and lunatic street, and find my way into a nearby cathedral, and knelt and prayed and did the Stations of the Cross. It's interesting, this very young Merton, he cannot see God in the world, only in the sconce reality of the monastery. He looks at the people and he sees just aliens, things that turn him off from God, and he escapes into the cathedral to pray. That is very young in his life, a little bit like Nathaniel. He couldn't see God out there. 2 decades later, a couple of years before he dies, he's in the same place, the corner of 4th and Walnut in Louisville. Hugh and I, we went over there, and there's a marker for this experience. And this is what he wrote in that occasion. 2 decades later, deep in his spirituality, deep in his knowledge of God, he's right there in the same place, and he writes, "In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people. They were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness. The whole illusion of a separate, holy existence is a dream. Not that I questioned the reality of my vocation or my monastic life, but the conception of separation from the world that we have in the monastery too easily presents itself as a complete illusion. The illusion that by making vows, we become different species of being, pseudo-angels, spiritual people, people of the interior life, what have you. The sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out aloud. And I suppose my happiness could have taken form in the words, thank God that I am like other people, that I am only a person amongst others. To think that for 16 or 17 years, I have been taking seriously this pure illusion that is implicit in so much of our monastic thinking. I have the immense joy of being human, a member of a race in which God's very self became incarnate. And if only everybody could realize this, but it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. Isn't it beautiful? Do you see the contrast in these two moments? Right in the same place. Merton first cannot see God, just like Nathaniel. What good can come out of Nazareth? What good can come of all these strange people? So I wonder how many of us are like Nathaniel. I think I'm a little bit like it. Not being able to see, discover the divine presence in our midst, and especially the divine presence in the most unlikely of places. This past year has been extremely, extremely difficult for the whole world. I think when we look back in a couple of years, we're going to say that was hard. And the invitation I feel God is asking, at least me, is where in all this tumult that we've experienced, this pandemic that's upended our lives, the racial injustice that's just come back into reality, the spreading of white supremacy, the church's dysfunctions in our own personal lives, what we've experienced, can we discover the presence of God in the midst of all that? Or are we a bit like Nathaniel, suspect of anything that comes from that little village of Nazareth? Can we discover where God is? Yes, I think even in the most terrible places of solitude, of anger, of poverty, we can discover the presence of God in our midst. It is interesting, when Nathanael finally recognizes him, what Jesus tells him is what? You think because I saw you under the fig tree, that's important? You will see God's angels going up to heaven and down to earth on the human one. And that word human one, usually translated as son of God, but the translator of this Bible, they prefer the word human one because it captures best the intention. The human one is simply the human, the son of Adam, the child of this earth. And what is Jesus saying is, right there, in the most normal, ordinary human, in the human one, right there, where you least expect it, where you think, God can't be there, right there, precisely, says Jesus, you will see God's angels going up to heaven and down to the earth, that connection between heaven and earth, upon that one, the human one, the one most unlikely to be the presence of the divine. So my invitation for all of you is to consider, where in your life, where in your surroundings, where in the news, where all these terrible things we are witnessing, Where is God in all of this? And before we become like Nathaniel and say, God can't be there, maybe think twice. Maybe like Merton, we can discover the sun shining on all the people in all circumstances, even the most difficult ones. May God give us that discernment, that open-heartedness, now and ever. Amen.